this is God's word. Come on, I don't hear everybody. Say, this is God's word. Come on, I don't hear everybody. Say, this is God's word. Not Pastor Rebin's word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. And Father, we come boldly to the throne of grace so we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. And we need the Spirit of God to breathe fresh on what is said. And I thank you, Lord, that every single person who is watching me by way of the internet and those who are in this room who hear the word today, I thank you for it creating a shift in their life. And I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that where the enemy has tried to come in like a flood, you have already raised the standard by the Spirit of God. So Holy Spirit, do what I can't do, and that is to minister to every person in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen. Amen, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Well, last week I started, or we are in a series called Let's Fight. And so for the whole month of September, everybody say the whole month. For the whole month of September, we are dividing our church by relationship status. And you say, well, what does that mean? That means that our 9 o'clock service that was right before this one is designed to minister to married couples. And so this service is designed for singles. And so if you're here and you're married and you didn't know, don't worry about it. Just sit in here. I think you'll learn something, and then you'll also appreciate being married. Say amen to that. So if you missed last week's message, I want you to go back and watch them, because most people think that faith comes by having heard, but it doesn't. It comes by hearing, which means that you have to continue to hear the word of God for faith to be built in your life. And so today's message is kind of different, but I know it's going to bless you. And so the title is Fight the Loneliness. Fight the Loneliness. Let me ask you a question. In your single walk, has there ever been a season where you felt lonely? Let me see your hand. All right, that's good. Now, if you didn't raise your hand, you're lying. So the goal of the message today is to help singles fight loneliness by understanding what to do when they are in a season of what I call relationship silence. You say, well, what is that? Relationship silence is when you're currently not in a relationship, but you want to be in one. Relationship silence is when you want to get involved with somebody, but they don't meet God's criteria for your life. Relationship silence is when God's got you in the back room and he won't let you out. Amen. So here's the question. What do you do when you feel lonely and alone? So we're going to jump in here, and I'm going to give you some principles today that I believe will help you maintain and manage a season of why you're still in a relationship silence. So in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, I'm reading out of the King James Version. It says, and the Lord God said, it is not good. Everybody say not good. It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And so out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air. And he brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called these living creatures, that was the name thereof. Stop real quick. Women, let me just give you some advice. Before you get involved with any man, you need to listen to that man to see what he's calling, whatever he's calling in his life. Because whatever he's calling in his life is going to be in his life. And what he's calling, if it doesn't line up with God's word in your life, you don't even need to get involved with that man. Amen. Verse 20, and Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowls of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. Verse 21 says, and so the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and Adam slept. And so God took one of his ribs, not a rack, just one. He took one of Adam's ribs. And he closed them up and the flesh thereof. And verse 2, and the rib, not ribs. This ain't Spring Creek barbecue here. He took one of the ribs which the Lord had taken from the man. He made a woman and he brought her to the man. Now, it was never God's will for man to be alone. That was his core reason why he created marriage. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Now here's the sad thing. The sad thing is lots of single Christians today are lonely like Adam. Look at your neighbor and say, are you lonely? Now look at your other neighbor and say, don't ask me that no more. No, really. A lot of single Christians today, they're lonely like Adam. And they're waiting on God to bring that special someone into their life when the reality is, listen, they're married to Christ. Revelation 21:9 says this, then one of the seven angels who held the seven bowls containing the seven last plagues came and said to me, come with me. He says, I will show you the bride who is the wife of the Lamb. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm married. Look at him, say, I'm married. So here's the question. Here we go. So if you're currently married to the perfect person named Jesus, why is there a fight to be lonely? Or not to be lonely? Which brings up to our first point. Here's the first point. This is so good. Spiritual satisfaction was never designed to cure natural loneliness. I'm going to say that again. Spiritual satisfaction was never designed to cure natural loneliness. And the church, unfortunately, is guilty of telling Christian singles that Jesus should be enough. Just try Jesus. He's all right. I tried him. I got him. But I still want a man or a woman, right? So we have these churches, unfortunately, telling Christian singles Jesus should be enough. But if that is true in principle, why would Adam feel lonely when he had a strong relationship with God already? Did y'all get that? So Adam has this strong relationship with God, but he still feels lonely. So spiritual satisfaction is never designed or was never designed by God to cure natural loneliness. And God, listen, never designed natural relationships to complete or replace our spiritual relationship with him. And that's the problem as well. Because some of you, if you got married today, God wouldn't see you again. Well, see, idolatry is putting anything before God. And unfortunately, many singles desire relationships, natural relationships, so bad that they will put their desires over God's principles for their life. And if your desires override the principles of God, then your desires are your idol. Amen. In fact, Christian singles who bypass God's way and cater to their own ways when it comes to relationships, they end up, listen to this now, this is kind of deep, they end up practicing divorce before they even get married. So what do you mean by that, Pastor Evan? See, when you enter into what I'm going to call an unapproved relationship by God, and you have to break them off, and get out of it because you eventually see it wasn't God approved. And you do that over and over and over because you say, Pastor, how can I know if I'm meeting the right person if I don't meet the person? But you're getting in a relationship over, get out, over, get in, over, get out, over. You're practicing breaking up before you ever get married. So that's why when you do get married and God sends the right person, you're used to breaking up so much that you can't properly manage a God-given relationship. I'm preaching better than you're clapping, but it's good already. It's good. It's good. He's good. Yeah. So even though spirit, listen, doesn't replace the need for companionship in the flesh, what is God's remedy for what I'm going to call temporary loneliness? Which brings us to point number two. Here it is. Marriage is not the only cure for relationship loneliness. I'm going to say that again. Marriage is not the cure. Everybody say marriage is not the cure. For relationship loneliness. And sometimes in singles' minds, we think, you think, because I'm married. Sometimes single people think, if I just get married, I'll never be lonely no more. Well, that's a lie because I just left a room with some married people who feel lonely. So marriage, everybody say marriage, is not the only cure for relationship loneliness. Listen, listen, singles, the reality is singleness and loneliness is not the same thing. You can be single and deeply connected to God and other people in relationships. And then you can be in a marital relationship and still feel lonely. So what's the cure? Watch Psalm 68 verse 6. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It says, God places the lonely in families. Everybody say, God places the lonely in families. Okay, if he places people who are lonely in families, the families he's placing them in wasn't their original family. Because he wouldn't have to place them in their own family. They're already in there. So obviously, God has a way to put people who are lonely into families. But here's the problem. We want to dictate how God resolves our loneliness. God, if I ain't married by 25. Listen, God ain't scared of your ultimatums. If you don't, he'd be up there like, and God places the lonely in families. And see, as believers, you may not realize this. You have two types of families. The first type are our natural families that we were born into. Those are people who we are related to that we did not have a choice to pick. Amen. But then we have what I'm going to call our family of choice. Your family of choice are those who you choose to do life with. Those are we who we have, you know, a choice to have relationships with. Our church family should be one of our families of choice. But unfortunately, we forget that we're here not just to get something in the family. We're here to give something in the family. And a lot of single people, they come to church. Touch your neighbor and say, he ain't talking to me right now. Look at your other neighbor and say, but he talking to you though. Most single people come to church for what they can get and not for what they can give. Listen now to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. I'm reading a lot here. But I want you to get an idea that you are a member in this family of choice that, listen, you got born into as well. Because the Bible says when we accept Christ, we become born again. So we now have a family of choice because you made a decision to make Jesus your Lord. So now the church by default becomes your family of choice. And so he says here, yes, the body has many different parts. Just as one, not just one part, verse 15. And if the foot says, well, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, does that make it any less part of the body? I can't sing like the church lady up here, cause she, that's what we, I call her church lady, cause she can sing that boy, that church lady. Yeah, right. I can't sing like her. It says, does that make you not part of the body? Look at verse 16. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not the eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body was a what, church? Oh, y'all see that? If the whole body was an eye, how would you what? Hear. Or if your whole body was an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts. And God has put each part, just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Trust me, you know that. Stomp your little toe in the middle of the night and we'll see what happens. You ain't paid attention to that little toe all week, but when you stomp that thing, it says, and the parts that we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with great care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God, everybody say God. God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that that have less dignity. Verse 25. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for who? Who? They care for each other. It ain't about just you. If one part suffers, then all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you, touch your neighbor again and say, he talking to you. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. So your family of choice should be the church, which is the body of Christ, which is the bride of Christ, in which you are married to. Say amen to that. So if you're not committed as a bride to the church, what makes you think you will be committed to whoever God sends you? Listen to me. If you cannot be committed to his body, the church, the bride, if you cannot be that committed now, why do you think you'll be committed to somebody he sends you? He's not going to send you somebody because he haven't seen your faithfulness in his body, his wife, the church. And I'm preaching better than you clapping. But it's all right. Loneliness often grows when we become too focused on ourselves. One powerful way to overcome this is to shift your focus from inward to outward. This is why you should get involved in others' lives, in serving, in ministry, in doing community stuff. Why? Because when you engage in God's work, you will find what I call fulfillment. Amen. And this is why Paul's advice to non-married individuals is to serve in ministry. See, I know because we live in a consumer-minded culture that you think you doing something in your church is for the church, but it's not really for the church. You might be doing it on behalf or to benefit the church, but it really benefits you. Watch this now. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. Paul says to the Corinthian church, I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. An unmarried man can spend his time, read it with me, church, doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please him. If you are a single, unmarried man, raise your hand. Let me see your hand. Brothers. Yes, thank you so much. Guess what? Your responsibility here is to be spending time doing the Lord's work and thinking how you need to please him. Why do you spend more time on dating sites, scrolling on TikTok and Instagram, looking at all the Instagram models? Top model, top model. She's a top model. Y'all don't know that song, but anyway, Canton Jones, if you didn't know. Listen what it says. But a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities. He's got to think about how he needs to please First Lady. Me. I'm not single. I got to figure out what is it going to take for me to please my wife, because I'm married. The Bible says in verse 34, his interests are divided. He says, in the same way, a woman who is no longer married or has never been married, she can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and spirit. Let me ask you a question. How many women in here are unmarried right now? Let me see your hand. You know what he just said? Thank you. He said that your focus should be on the Lord, and you should be devoted to him and be holy in body and spirit. Let me tell you, you know how you can keep men from fornicating? By not giving them none. Listen, the only reason men are not virgins is because women are giving them some. You want a virgin man? Don't give him none. Oh, well, pastor, somebody else is going to give him some. And if I don't give him some, then I might lose him. You need to lose him. Yeah. Giving him some won't keep him. You have proven that you're not a virgin. Okay, that was too direct, but. Watch what he says. Paul says, but a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. Amen. First lady, she married now. She got to figure out how to please me. Yeah. I tell her too. This is what you need to do, brother. Brother. She take care of the brother too. I'll tell you that. So. He says, I'm saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible. So when you jump in and out of unauthorized and unapproved relationships, all they are distractions, and you lose spiritual momentum, and you wonder why you are still in the same spot you were last year. It's hard to say you're lonely when you're connected to the body and you're busy serving. So here's a take-home thought. Everybody say, You are not qualified for marriage until you are overqualified being single. I'm going to say that again. You are not qualified for marriage until you are overqualified being single. You say, well, Pastor Ed, what does that mean? The reason you typically graduate from one grade to the next grade in school is because, listen, you have proven to the system that you know enough to pass from one grade to the next grade. You passed all the different tests that they've given you. So now you no longer belong in that grade no more. Well, guess what? Once you have done all the tests and you've proven to the system and you've proven to all the teachers and you've made the proper grades that you pass to the next level, it's time to graduate. Well, when God sees that you've maxed out your single life, he will send you a mate to graduate. And I believe when God sees that you are busy serving him by serving others and connected to his church and care about his house, I believe he'll build you a house. Amen. When you see what God is doing, see, most of you are short-sighted. You don't see what God is doing, but his ways and his thoughts are way above yours. Say amen to that. And joy, everybody say joy. Joy is produced when fulfillment takes place. And fulfillment takes place when you obey and do what God asks you to do. And joy, listen, joy and loneliness cannot exist at the same time. I'm gonna say that again. Joy and loneliness cannot exist at the same time. So in addition to choosing to serve and connect to your family of choice, you must now choose to have joy in the midst of the absence of a personal relationship. Why? Because God did not design relationships, watch this, to be the cure for joy. Which brings us to our last point, point number three. I'm almost done here. Permanent joy is the antidote to temporary loneliness. Permanent joy. Everybody say permanent joy. Permanent joy is the antidote to temporary loneliness. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. What's the next one? Joy. When you got born again, God put on the inside of his Spirit. First of all, you got born again of the Spirit. When the Spirit of God came on the inside of you, he brought with him what the Bible calls fruit. And one of those fruit is called joy. And did you know that joy makes life better? But here's the thing. We're not talking about regular joy like worldly people. See, it's not even called joy. It's really happiness. See, the world buys stuff and makes them happy. But happiness is conditioned upon what's happening. But see, joy is something that is built into you. We're talking about the joy that Jesus had. John chapter 15 verse 9, Jesus said, I loved you even as the Father has loved me. He says, I want you to remain in my love. He says, when you obey my commandments, then you remain in my love just as I obey my Father's commandments and I remain in his love. He says, I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Jesus has joy. He's given it to you by way of the Spirit of God. So I want you to notice, did you notice that Jesus said that our joy was connected to our love for God and our obedience to him. Did you notice that? So there is nothing like the joy that comes when you obey God. Listen, there is a level of joy that when you obey God, it's like smoking crack. It'll get you high real fast. So Pastor Evan, you on crack? No, I didn't say that. Now I didn't say that. So what is joy? How many got high before? Anybody? Anybody? Let me see your hand. Not crack. I'm just talking about like weed or crack. Weed or crack. Anybody? Weed or crack? Raise your hand. No. You cannot tell me out of all these people in here, that was the only people that have smoked weed before. I didn't say you smoked it last night, even though some of y'all probably did. Okay. If you have smoked weed or tried crack before, we're going to mix them up. Listen, I ain't judging you. I'm not judging. I'm putting them together so we won't know. Okay? Because I've tried one of them myself. Okay? So if you have tried weed or crack before, please raise your hand. Okay? Raise it higher. Okay? All right, thank you. Thank you. May the Lord add a blessing to your obedience. We got some people on like, I ain't tried none of that, Pastor. But praise the Lord for you. Here's the beautiful thing about joy. It becomes one of the things that God uses, listen church, to give you strength. I'm going to say that again. Here's the beautiful thing about joy. God uses joy to give you strength. See, joy is not the result of when things are going well on the outside of you. It's the result of who's living on the inside of you. And that's why the Bible says, I'm in Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 9, it says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. So I should be able to consistently have strength because the Lord don't change. So it doesn't matter if I have somebody to go on a date with or if I don't have somebody. My joy is not dependent on that. My joy comes from the Lord, and the Lord is the same. The Bible says the Lord is the same yesterday and today and forever. And if you lack strength, listen, I'm about to gut punch you. I'm about to gut punch it. If you lack strength today, it's because you lack some joy. Because joy will strengthen you just like weed gets you high. You know, they got different levels of weed. Did y'all know that? So why are you talking about weed today? I'm not sure. I'm trying to feel my way through the crowd, see what's going on. You know, there are different levels of weed. Now, weed have changed since I grew up. You know, back in the day, they had regular weed, right? That's just that stuff you probably grew it in your backyard. Your mama thought it was a flower. It wasn't a flower. It was weed. But then you had, you know, we used to have what they call skunk weed. How many know what skunk weed is? Yeah, I got some in the back. Yeah. Skunk weed smell almost like a skunk. Boy, that stuff was woohoo. If you were not a professional weed smoker, that skunk weed will send you to the ER. It was strong. But then that next level was, we called it amp weed. Now, this was weed. There are different names for this one, okay? So it may not have been amp for you, but when I describe the process, you'll know what I'm talking about. This is like weed, regular weed, and they would take this weed and dip it in embalming fluid. How many know what I'm talking about? What they call that? Help me. Whack? What? Wet? Oh, wax. No? Wet, like W-T? Okay. My question is, how y'all know? See, just like those different types of weed takes your high levels to different levels, joy gives you strength just like that. And when you learn how to operate in joy, your strength level goes up. Listen to this. James chapter 1 verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Why? Knowing that this, when you see joy properly, that the trying of your faith, all it's doing is working some patience. He said, but you need to let patience have her perfect work so you may be perfect or mature and entire, wanting nothing. Listen, I like how the New Living Translation puts it. Because see, that verse is saying when you're going through difficulty, you need to be glad in it. I didn't say be glad for it. I say you need to be glad in it. Because see, the devil, he watches you. He watches every move you make. And he knows what he needs to do to make you sad. So until you show him an expressionalist response, they break up with you, your response needs to be, well, God's got somebody better. Praise the Lord. Now you going through, oh God, I like Jeffrey. Somebody struggling with Jeffrey. Let Jeffrey go. Let him go. He's not for you. Okay? Watch this verse. Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble of any kind, of what kind? Of any kind, when it comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Why can you do that? For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. But when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. See, Jesus even used this joy that he gave us to get through difficulty in life. Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore seeing we have been compassed about with great crowds of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which easily besets us, and let us run the race with patience that is set before us. And we need to look to Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he was able to go through the cross. Listen to the voice translation. So since we stand surrounded by all those who have gone before, an enormous cloud of witnesses, let us drop every extra weight. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to drop some weight. Now, I'm not talking about food weight either. You need to drop every weight. Every sin that clings to us and slackens our pace, and let us run with endurance the long race set before us. We may feel alone, there it is, church, but we aren't. We are surrounded by an army of witnesses. They have run the race of faith and finished well. It is now your turn. Now we stay focused on Jesus, who designed and perfected our faith. He endured the cross. He ignored the shame of that death. Why? Because he was focused on the joy that was set before him. Jesus was able to go through the cross because he saw himself on the throne. See, you can go through a season of loneliness if you see yourself married. See, some of y'all, one of your problems is you don't carry yourself married. Pastor, I want them to know I'm not. Well, I didn't say put a ring. Listen, if you single and you want to be married and you got a ring on your ring, married hand, take it off. You're throwing mixed signals. They don't understand that. I know. See, you're acting schizophrenic. On the days you don't want to be bothered, you put the little ring on. I don't want to be messed with nobody today. But then on the day you want somebody's attention. So I need to hurry up. Okay, this is the last one. So how do we activate joy? How do we activate this joy? You can't use lights without activating the light switch. So how do we activate joy? Romans 14, verse 17. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Number one, here are some steps to having joy in manifestation. Number one, you must will it before you feel it. You must will it before you feel it. Everybody say, you must will it before you feel it. See, we want it the other way around. I want to feel it. Every time I feel the spirit moving in my heart, I will. Y'all ain't heard that song? What'd he say? I will what? Okay, so if you don't feel the spirit, you ain't gonna pray? No. You gotta will it before you feel it. I'm gonna be joyful. Here's number two. You gotta pray in the Holy Ghost because it strengthens you and will begin to fill you with joy. That's why it says, beloved, you building up yourselves in your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. If you know how to pray in tongues, that's what you need to do. Look at Acts 13 verse 49. It says, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the regions. Verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Here's number three. This is how you activate joy in your life. Start rejoicing and your joy will show up. Start rejoicing. Everybody say rejoicing. See, the word re means again. Rejoicing means to be joy again. Psalm 32:11 says, I rejoice in who? The Lord. Who do you rejoice in? Well, what are you rejoicing about? You're rejoicing because of who he is. You're rejoicing because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're rejoicing because Jesus doesn't change. You're rejoicing because he's faithful. You're rejoicing because he loves you. You're rejoicing because his way is the best way. You're rejoicing because he's the way, the truth, and the life. You're rejoicing because he's a way maker, and he's going to make it a way when there ain't no way. You're rejoicing because he works things together for good. That's why I'm rejoicing. And while you are rejoicing, Lord, thank you for being such a good God. Thank you for being a blessing in my life. Thank you for making a way when there is no way. Thank you, God, for helping me meet these bills and I don't even get no child support. Thank you, Lord, for giving me that promotion and I wasn't even qualified for it. Thank you, Lord, for having somebody to pay to get my hair done. I didn't have the money. Thank you, Lord, for causing somebody to bless my kids. See, when you start rejoicing, joy shows up. So you begin to open your mouth and rejoice in him. And it won't be but a matter of time that joy is going to show up. So how do we apply this? Number one, last week, because I ain't forgot, I asked you to go home and write down some lies that the enemy have told you. I asked you to bring them to here today. How many remember the assignment? Oh, good. Because see, some of those lies that's on that paper is dampening your joy. And so, I want you to stand up right now. Everybody stand up. Stand up right now. Stand up right now. If you wrote these lies down, I promise you some of those lies are keeping you from having joy. So, the Bible says, when we read the verse, it says, lay aside every weight. We're going to lay that weight aside today. Then you say, Pastor, I didn't write mine down. Well, if you didn't write it down and you know what it is, either write it on your note paper and put it down here or just come and touch and say, okay, I know what mine is. So I just want you to come. We don't need no order or nothing. Just come and lay them down here. If you got your papers, I want you to put them on the altar right now. Lay aside. And then when you lay it down, just know you weighing down a weight. You're laying it down. You're laying it down. And don't take it back with you. All of these lies that the enemy has used to weigh you down, but he is a liar. He's the father of lies, the Bible says. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to focus no longer on what we don't have or who we don't have. Our focus is going to be on the non-changing one who never changes. Hallelujah. 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 Yes. Lay aside every weight and every lie that the enemy has tried to use on you. Because no weapon includes a lie. And no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Hallelujah. Now, this is a word of the Lord. I'm not sure who it's for, but this is for some people. You need to trust God enough with your next relationship by laying down your personal criteria. See, what you don't know is your personal criteria don't fit his. I'll never marry outside my race. You might not ever be married then. No, because his will for your life might be a white man or a white lady. That's why you ain't married. That's why you will never be. No. Do you trust him enough to lay aside your preferences or what you think? You don't know what makes you happy. You don't know what makes you happy. That's why you in the state. You don't know what makes you happy. He does. But he's waiting on you to trust him enough to put down your little preferences. Amen. One of my preferences when I was single for a short season. One of my preferences was, I ain't gonna marry nobody who haven't been divorced. So I was like, look, they gonna have to be divorced. You gotta understand this. I didn't know though it was gonna be one twice though, so yeah. First lady divorced twice, right? But watch, that was his preference. I'm so glad I took his preference. Do you trust him enough though? Do you trust him enough? Do you trust him enough to lay your preferences down? What if your preferences are holding you up? Hold your hands up like this. I put you on Holy Ghost arrest right now. Holy Ghost arrest. Holy Ghost, every person who have their hands up, what they're saying is, I give up. I give up. They give up to their way. They give up to what they want. And they're giving up their preferences right now. And see, some of you all are fearful right now just for me saying this. What if I marry? What if God want me to marry somebody I don't like? Impossible. He won't do that. And Father, I pray that they will trust you today with what your preferences are for their life so they can truly live the more than abundant life that Jesus came for them to have. And so, Lord, I thank you that as they lay down their preferences, you're going to put in their hearts the desires you want them to have. And I thank you that many are going to be married. Many, Father, are going to have adventures of faith in ways they never knew. And I pray now in the name of Jesus, any one of them who are snagged in relationships that they shouldn't be in and they know they shouldn't be in it, but they're stuck. They don't know how to get out. And they haven't even prayed and said, Lord, get me out, because in their mind they're saying, well, I got myself in it. I need to get myself out. But the Lord is saying, no, if you will commission me to get you out, he says, I'll get you out. And so, Lord, I thank you that whoever that is, I thank you for getting them out in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen. Amen. So here's my question. Everybody still standing up. If you died today and you're not sure you'd go to heaven, I want to pray for you.